The following is a paid program on AM 1220 KLBB. The views expressed do not necessarily represent the views of the station owner or management or Endurance Broadcasting, LLC.
This is Steph. Up next, Voices in the Valley. But first, Rebecca Coles joins us from the Farm Store in Stillwater, Minnesota with Nature's Notebook. Good morning, Rebecca.
Well, good morning to you. It's getting chilly, isn't it?
It is, and there's sometimes snow on the ground, and it really feels like we're entering winter. And I will say this, there is nothing more beautiful than the red plumage of some of the birds that are flitting around in their pretty colors as they're looking for food here in this winter wonderland.
Oh, that's for sure. And, you know, there's something that, you know, we talk about feeding birds all the time. That's real simple with seed, and it does bring in a variety of birds. But often we forget about those that really need a high-protein diet, like the woodpeckers, the nuthatches, and even some of the cardinals. And I'm talking about suet. And you can either buy suet, of course, from the Stillwater Farm Store. It's already made, and it's got delicious seeds and dried fruit inside. Or a fun project with your kid on these very chilly, cold days is to go at home and make it on your own. And this is a great project for kids to get their hands dirty because they have to put their hands in this gooey mixture and form the suet. So let me give you the recipe real quick.
Would love
and
that.
Just go to the butcher and ask them for suet. And you need about 1.5 cups, and you can either use that or like a lard. It's something very easy to do. And then you want about 3/4 cup of peanut butter, the kind that has nuts. And listen, if you can't find the suet, you can always just use the plain peanut butter. But I like to mix in the suet with the peanut butter. Then we're going to take that, mix it together, and just put it in the microwave on low heat and let it kind of melt down so it's soft and it's workable. Then what you want to do is you're going to add about 3.5 cups of wild bird seed, a cup of quick oats, and then let the kids dive in. They can create shapes. I like to use cookie cutters that I will spray with a corn oil and then push the suet inside, throw it in the fridge, and it will actually harden. You'll have to put a little string or something in to hang it off a tree, or just put them in little containers like we do at the store, squares. Put them in the fridge. They will turn hard, and then just put them outside in a suet container or put them in a netted stocking that our fruit comes into, hang it from a tree, and your birds will be all over this delicious, nutritious food for the winter.
And we'll have fun watching them eat that nutritious food for the winter.
Yeah, it's a great way to keep birds in your backyard.
Well, Rebecca, what I'm going to do is write down that recipe that you just gave us and post it on the Voices in the Valley social media. That includes both Facebook and Twitter. And I know you have a Facebook account for the Farm Store as well.
Stillwater Farm Store.
All right, listeners, go ahead to Stillwater Farm Store's Facebook page and or Voices in the Valley, and we'll have that recipe there for you. And have fun while feeding the birds. I love it. Thank you. Stay tuned for Voices in the Valley following local student news.
This is Allison Wolf from St. Croix Prep reporting for the Shire. Stillwater's official Christmas tree was lit last weekend. Donated by JG House Construction, the tree will continue to be on display along the river in Lowell Park through December. Stillwater Motors is looking for unwrapped gifts to be donated to the Family Means Youth Program. Gifts can be dropped off in the vintage pickup truck on the showroom floor of Stillwater Motors until December 12th. The gifts most needed are geared towards older children and teenagers, with the goal of every family in the Family Means Program having a gift to open around Christmas time. A company called Ice Castles LLC has chosen Stillwater for the new place to build their huge ice castle. The castle construction has already begun, and it is expected to open on December 26th. With walls of ice about 15 feet thick, the castle will include tunnels, passages, and slides, as well as lights and music. The castle is located in Lowell Park, and tickets can be purchased online. The Stillwater Elks Lodge has begun a seasonal project with the nonprofit Youth Advantage. The Elks have already donated 10 trees and are selling more trees at Lily Lake Park to support the nonprofit and organizations like it. Congratulations to the Stillwater girls hockey team, who have won their game against Creighton Duren Hall in overtime with a final score of 3-2. Reporting for the Shire, this is Allison Wolf.
Local Student News is supported by Oak Meadows, our nonprofit senior living community. We offer independent living, assisted living, and memory care living options. We provide classes, games, friendly competitions, trips, and service opportunities for our residents to encourage ongoing social and emotional development with the goal to promote friendship. Further information can be found at www.oak-meadows.org.
Today's episode of Voices in the Valley is supported by real estate consultant Wendy Gimple. Wendy Gimple's real estate experience spans over 15 years and now includes new construction, whole house remodels, and a background in decorating and staging. Her work remodeling homes has connected her with many professionals in the homing industry, including painters, plumbers, electricians, finishers, and cabinet who can alter home to client specifications. Wendy has a passion for real estate and for helping clients find and make their home a place of comfort, enjoyment, and complete satisfaction. www.wendygimple.com.
Paperback Writer.
Good morning and welcome to Voices in the Valley, where we celebrate the creative spirit and nurture the art of storytelling. This is Steph, and we have Bob, the producer, here today.
Hey, hey.
Oh, wait.
Calm down.
I know. Everybody wants Jenna and Dee, but yeah. Bob, I have no doubt that this is going to be fun, and we are going to rock and roll with this. So,
it's a pleasure to be here. Let me just say that.
Well, thank you, Bob, for joining us here today and for putting the show together.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we're starting a new series during the month of December called Stories of Hope. It's the season of giving, of course, and so we'll be focusing on those organizations that serve our St. Croix Valley so well, the nonprofits that strengthen our social services, empower our disadvantaged, support our artists, develop our students, and contribute so much to our community. What do you think, Bob?
I'm loving it.
I'm loving it, too. Well, to begin this series and to start us out, we're going to welcome Brad Cruz, the philanthropy director for SRI in Bayport. Ready for all this, Bob?
This is going to be power-packed.
It is power-packed and filled with punch.
Mm-hmm, I'm loving it.
All right. Well, let's bring Brad on and let's get the show rolling then.
Mm-hmm.
It's delightful to have you in the studio here with us.
Good morning, Steph. Thanks for having me out.
Well, you know, I just have to mention that I've heard that you were a curling instructor, and I'm so sorry I couldn't let that go. And it's off topic, and I know I shouldn't ask you about this, but quickly, would you just...
It's tangentially related, so in two ways. First of all,
okay.
There is a sculpture here in downtown Stillwater as part of the big sculpture tour. So there's a curler
on
Main Street, so come to Stillwater and see that big statue. And so, yes, I have too many hobbies, really. I am a stand-up comic in my free time. I also am in a play coming up here in December. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And then I've been curling for about 5 years, and last year I took a class and studied up, and then paid my dues, and now I am a level one certified curling instructor. So I curl out of the St. Paul Curling Club and also the Frogtown Curling Club in St. Paul.
Wow.
It's a fun little social hobby, and many curling clubs are actually nonprofits. So it is kind of tangentially related.
Do you ever tell jokes while you're curling?
That has not happened yet, but I do tell everyone that when I started curling for the first time, my wife said, well, sure, you won't sweep at home.
I love it.
That's actually really, really good. Can you tell jokes about nonprofits, too? Because that's where we're headed right now.
So I don't have any nonprofit jokes off the top of my head. But
well, maybe we'll get to some here towards the end of our interview. Well, let's start out talking about what a nonprofit is and what a foundation is. Because in addition to the insane amount of generosity that the Anderson family supplies us with all of its many different foundations, there's also many different views of nonprofits and foundations and what they do. So maybe you could clarify that.
Sure, I could do just a little bit. I have a master's degree in nonprofit management from Indiana University School of Philanthropy. So I did study all this. So I can get boring really quickly. So feel free to cut me off when I get deep into the weeds. But so in America, we have three segments. Of course, we have the government segment, the for-profit business segment, and then this great civil society background, the nonprofit world that we all live in. Nonprofit is a really broad category. So it includes churches and schools and arts groups and education groups and everything in between. So there's quite a range. The IRS actually has 23 different designations of types of nonprofits. And so your gardening club, you know, is categorized a little bit differently than the American Legion, which is categorized again differently than a United Way public charity. So it's a really, really broad and diverse field. It's about 10% of the total employment in the U.S. So it's significant, but certainly small. And that does include a lot of healthcare institutions and institutions of higher education. That's where the bulk of the money and the employees are.
So let's talk about 501c3s, because I think that's what most people are most familiar with and what they generally open up their pocketbooks to support.
Correct. Exactly. So 501c3 is the one designation. Like I said, there are C up through 23, but 501c3 3s are the majority of the nonprofit sector in our world and what people use to consider nonprofits. That is split up into two things. There's actually a private foundation ruling or a public charity ruling. And so their world is kind of split by the IRS into those two different groups. Public charities generally raise money from the public and are out running and doing programs, and foundations generally are giving money to charities for public work. It's a little bit of a blended world, but in the big picture, those are kind of the two big distinctions.
And there are certain people who have enough money that they want to give back to their community, and so they start a foundation in order to provide money to different charities and 501c3s that might request grants and that sort of thing.
Correct.
Would that be
correct.
True?
Yep, that's correct. And there are three big types of foundations. Now, the foundation term can be used by fundraising groups as well, so it's not limited to that. But in the foundation world, there's private family foundations, and there's also corporate foundations, and then there's public or community foundations. And all three of those get their funds from a slightly different set of donors. Private independent foundations generally get it from one or a small number of donors. Corporate foundations get their funding from a corporation. And then public or community foundations, like your St. Paul Foundation or the St. Croix Valley Foundation, get their donations from a wide variety of individual donors. So it's a great thing. You can give $10 to an endowment or millions of dollars or everything in between.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of money that flows. Well, let me ask you this, too, because then there's the for-profit world, which obviously is a very different thing. So could you speak on that, the difference between nonprofit and for-profit?
Sure. Well, in terms of the difference between the sector, certainly for-profits are created for a benefit. You know, the people who own the company or work for the company, they actually set it up so that they make money. Now, they all don't. Some small businesses fail and don't make it, but that's their purpose. The difference with a nonprofit is that it's set up so it's to benefit the community, not the owners. And so a nonprofit could certainly generate excess revenue, but when it does, that money cannot flow to the directors or the employees or anything like that. The IRS calls that private inurement. So there's no private inurement. You can't financially benefit. It has to be for the benefit of the company or benefit of the community.
Right. So any excess income they might spend, but they need to turn around and spend it on good cause.
Excess revenue in 1 year can be used the next year for the community or for the benefit, but just not for those private individuals, for their benefit.
And you're mentioning the benefit to the community. Could you speak on that and tell us why do we have nonprofits?
Sure. Well, the nonprofit civil sector actually goes back, you know, thousands of years, literally. There's some ancient history of the Egyptians setting up some food shelves to feed, you know, low-income people. So it's an idea
that's interesting.
That's been in our civilization all the way around. It's morphed and changed in the Middle Ages. There certainly was a lot of religious corporations set up for community benefit, again, a lot of poverty relief and those sorts of activities. But here in America, we've done kind of an unusual thing. There's a lot of governments and countries around the world that the government sector does almost all the public benefit, and the civil society is much smaller. In the U.S., we have a very robust public nonprofit sector. So we chose early on in our history to go ahead and make sure that the nonprofit sector was the kind of cornerstone of delivering a lot of great public goods. So there's a whole range of things. There's schools, like I said, arts, human services, you know, for the prevention of cruelty to animals. It's really, really a broad, broad sector. And it's even blended. There are some areas such as education where you have nonprofit, government, and for-profit all in the same arena, you know.
Right.
So it's not quite as clean as some people might think it is, but it's an interesting part of the economy for sure.
And what is nice about a nonprofit is that you can see your dollars at work and you can see the impact they're having on the people that they're being directed to.
For the most part, yes. It also, although measuring that impact is sometimes a little challenging. There's a great group called the Charities Review Council, which is here in Minnesota, that reviews charities, and they have a set of standards to hold charities. It's a little bit of a self-selection process because it's really hard to say, you know, your dollar went to this organization and impacted that client on a very short-term time frame. A lot of things we're working on, you know, eliminating poverty, feeding the poor, take a long, long time to actually make an impact on. But in the main, yeah, it's something that's really demonstrable.
Yeah, that's great. So tell me about the health and vitality of the nonprofit sector here in the Valley before we switch to feature some of those nonprofits.
So the Valley is a very diverse area, which is great. I actually pulled some numbers from GuideStar, which is another website, guidestar.org, where people can find out information out there. There is actually 307 nonprofits registered in Stillwater alone, just to give you a number.
Wow.
There were 29 registered in Little Bayport. So,
So
there's a lot of charities out there, a lot of nonprofits in the Valley for sure. And they range from tiny little churches doing, you know, food shelf to very, very large complex groups doing a lot of government service, healthcare, education, that sort of stuff. So we have a very robust charitable and nonprofit sector here in Minnesota, Wisconsin. It's a big part of what we do and what makes the Valley great.
Oh, I agree 100%. Okay, last question before we go. Tell me about In My Heart, the adoption play project you are going to be acting in.
Sure. So it opens on December 9th and runs through December 18th at Mixed Blood Theater in Minneapolis. It's put on by Wonderlust Productions, and they work with different communities to gather the stories from that community in story circles and then write a play and produce it in conjunction with professional actors as well as people from that community. So they previously did a veterans play project all about the veterans community, and this one is all focused on the adoption community. So there are adoptees, there are birth parents, there are people involved in the whole adoption community in one way or another in different ways. So there's about 30 people in the cast. It's a very large cast, and so come on out and see the show if you're available.
And if people want to find more information about it, where could they go?
They should go to wonderlustproductions.org. This is the
wonderlustproductions.org.
Correct.
Brad, thank you so much. You've just listened to Brad Cruz here on Voices in the Valley. Next up, after our short break, we're going to be returning to have Eleanor from Stillwater Junior High here with us to interview Artistic Director of the Zephyr Theater, Calissa Hall.
Today's mini podcast of the Entrepreneurial Spirit is supported by Lake Elmo Bank. Lake Elmo Bank's vision is to remain a locally owned community bank, serving a diverse and growing community while maintaining a tradition of personal service. www.lakeelmobank.com.
Paperback writer.
Welcome to The Entrepreneurial Spirit, a segment of Voices in the Valley that features the stories of small business owners. It's thanks to the support of Lake Elmo Bank, a locally owned community bank whose mission is to establish and nurture lasting relationships in our community, that we are able to interview Sherry Hopfe, one of the owners of Dock Cafe in Stillwater. I'm with Sherry right now at the dock. The lunch crowd has left. There's a small lull before the dinner guests arrive. And Sherry, thank you so much for your willingness to answer a few of my questions.
Thank you, Steph. I'm happy to answer.
Well, it's great to have you here for our inaugural edition of the Entrepreneurial Spirit. Tell me, what is the history of the Dock Cafe? When did it begin? How did it get started? What caused you to think about doing this?
Well, the Dock Cafe is actually the dream of Mike McGuire. Bought this land when it was a car wash. So, yes, this piece of property down on the edge of the river was a car wash 30-some years ago. And he bought this, ran the car wash for a few months, and then decided the property would be best used for a nice place to sit by the river and eat and have a good glass of wine.
So is this his design then?
This is his design.
So he designed and built the building?
He did.
And did he come up with the menu and decide what was going to be served, or how did that work?
He let other people use their expertise on that, but it was his architectural expertise that put this beautiful building up. And we opened in 1987, so we are 29 years old right now.
29 years old, and the same river flows past all those beautiful windows.
It does.
Looking out at the St. Croix. That's wonderful. What's been your biggest challenge?
You know, I think the biggest challenge is the staffing for the seasons.
Oh, I can imagine that.
Yes. So to get great staff for all the seasons and to be able to keep them is probably our biggest challenge down here.
Okay.
But at the Dock Cafe, as many people know, we have a lot of longevity with our staff, and that's really been our backbone to success.
Well, what has been your greatest joy?
The people.
The people?
Yeah, really.
Yeah, so the greatest challenge and the greatest joy, isn't that, that's so true of life.
Isn't that true? For
yeah.
sure. Yeah, we obviously over 29 years have met and maintained great friendships with many customers. Longevity and a lot of staff people, as well as great staff coming and going every year. And just working with all of the downtown people over the years as well. We have just a great group of downtown business people. And so all together, it's a fabulous place to be down here.
It seems like there's a real small business community that has formed amongst all the different merchants downtown. And that I almost get the sense of it's like a family.
Well, it is. You know, we're almost everybody down here is an independent business, and we have certain needs that maybe are unlike the big corporate businesses. So the best thing we can do is to work together, which we do great with, and keep going.
So do you have any tips for other local small business owners? Any suggestions?
Well, I think one thing I would suggest is that if you're going to open a business down here, whether it's a restaurant or a shop, that you really go out and do your homework, because whether it's retail or restaurants, it's a 7-day-a-week job.
Yeah.
It really is. It's 7 days a week. It's morning, noon, and night in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
And so I think that's my advice. Really do your homework before you do it.
Yeah.
And then if you want to come to Stillwater, we hope you'll bring another interesting, great business to just add to the greatness of our downtown already.
Yeah, that's a lovely sentiment to end on. Thank you, Sherry, so much. Sherry is one of the owners of the Dock Cafe here in downtown Stillwater on the south side of Main Street. And come on down and check them out. The river still is running. It's not yet frozen, but soon enough, maybe there will be some ice skaters out there.
Well, I think we need a little bit of snow coming up here for the ice castles this winter.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, that's coming. Everybody's biting their fingernails right now saying, okay, cold weather, we're ready for you.
That's right. So thanks, Steph, for interviewing.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Sherry, for joining us for the entrepreneurial spirit here on Voices in the Valley. This interview was made possible thanks to the support of Lake Elmo Bank. Further community resources for entrepreneurs can be found at www.lakeelmobank.com. This is Steph here on Voices in the Valley. If you are just tuning in, we are about to begin the second half of our show where student hosts interview our guests. Today, Eleanor, a ninth grader at Stillwater Junior High, joins us to welcome Kalissa Hall, Artistic Director of the Zephyr Theater. Welcome, Eleanor.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you back. And, you know, I got to ask you, I know you were eager to interview Kalissa. Do you have theater background?
I do not, but I really love watching the theater.
Ooh, that is, like, perfect. I know Kalissa is going to love to hear that. Well, Kalissa has worked for many years as a freelance director, stage manager, musician, production coordinator, lighting designer, and technician for professional and community theaters throughout the Twin Cities. She founded Only a Dim Image Productions and is also the director of Hashtag Hush Podcast, a monthly sci-fi audio drama series written, produced, and performed by secondary students at the Shire. Welcome, Kalissa.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Oh, it's great to have you here. And Kalissa is also heading up an effort to start the Zephyr Theater here in Stillwater. And that's what today's interview will focus on. Ready to take it away, Eleanor?
Yep.
Go for it.
So what inspired you to found the theater, Kalissa?
Well, that really came from my background in theater and acting when I was younger. I started at the Phipp Center for the Arts. Acting, actually. And then they needed some backstage help, and they needed a stage manager. And the minute I started stage managing, I kind of knew this was what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. So I started working at other theaters, doing lighting design, production coordinating, that sort of thing. When I really decided to found a company, it really started from when I was production coordinating. There were a few moments where the directors would get too busy to work with the students. And so they gave me an opportunity to choreograph some pieces and block some numbers and actually start directing. And the minute I started doing that, I really found this extreme love of creating a picture on stage and really storytelling through movement. And it was probably one of the most exciting moments of my life, the minute that I realized how exciting that could be to direct someone to tell a story. So when I was in college, I started a company called Only a Dim Image Productions. We would rehearse in Woodbury and perform downtown Minneapolis. So after 3 years of that, we realized we needed our own space. It was growing tremendously. Through working with people in Stillwater and getting to know the community, we realized that the idea of a professional theater downtown Stillwater is really something people here have wanted for a very long time, and there was tremendous excitement. So after seeing the building, we thought this is the perfect place and opportunity for this.
So could you tell me more about, like, planning the site and stuff like that of the theater?
Yes. So my dad is actually an architect. And after we became a nonprofit, we got through all the city permits and approvals. We did a feasibility study. Dad and I have been working on creating plans and blueprints for the most perfect theater space from all the theaters we've been to and seen and worked at. We really feel like the layout that we've come up with is perfect for not only this community, it's 330 seats, it'll be a professional theater, but it also has a rehearsal space the size of the stage on the lower level, which we think will be wonderful so that we can rehearse and also use this theater then when we're not having a production to rent out to other arts groups in the area. It'll be a tremendous revenue opportunity for us and a really beautiful space.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. So I also heard about the Zephyr Studio. Could you tell me about that?
Yes, we are currently right now in the Brick Alley building at a beautiful space right across from Smalley's Barbecue. The Zephyr Studio, we are offering classes right now for grades 1 through 12, and we are just about to put out our spring semester schedule, which will also include classes for adults. So we will really have classes for all ages in theater, musical theater, storytelling, voice production, improvisation. A big part of our mission statement is education and theater education for all ages. There are numerous studies, and so many people talk about the importance of theater education as you're growing up and what it does for confidence, empathy, public speaking, and all of those things. It's just really valuable for life skills and creativity. So we are very excited to be active in the community right now doing that.
That's really great. So on the website, I found this quote that you said, so I'll read it. Quote, what we see now is only a dim image of things to come. Theater, in turn, is a reflection of reality, including the reality of thoughts, memories, and dreams, end quote. So this is really interesting. Could you explain this?
Yes. So this quote comes from the very beginning of the company, when we were only a Dim Image Productions, now called the Zephyr Theater. And as a Christian, I founded the company on the principles that I believe govern the world. And I believe this earth and the life we are living is only a dim image of what heaven will be like. So by creating theater, we have this unique opportunity of making a living art that reflects our humanity back to us. And I think throughout history, theater and storytelling has changed the world by allowing spectators and listeners through generations to view themselves from the outside. So the empathy that this inspires can really change the way people live and relate to others. So this is, it's pretty wonderful that we can do this with theater.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's amazing.
So what is your greatest joy in all of this, Calissa? All these exciting things happening, everything moving, going forward in this really neat direction. What has been your greatest joy as you've gone through this process?
Well, as I was coming down into Main Street the other day and looked over at the Brick Alley building, I realized this is my dream. This is our dream. This is our board's dream. We have a studio right now on the south side of Main Street. We're actively working to have a space on the north side. But right now, even as we fundraise and do all of these things, we're changing lives. We're changing students' lives. We're changing people on our board, supporters, friends. Like, we are a theater company in Stillwater, and this is happening. And it's a joy and a dream come true to watch kids come into the studio and come out with these smiles on their faces, having learned something that they've dreamed of doing.
Oh, that's lovely. And how might people become involved?
If you are interested in becoming involved in any way, our website is stillwaterzephyrtheater.org. We will actively be offering classes through all this spring and summer. We also have huge volunteer opportunities for adults that are looking to help build sets or get involved in some of the programming and performances and events that we plan to do throughout the whole next year and through 2017. So if you're looking to be involved, please do not hesitate to contact us, because we will get you involved right away.
That's great. Is there a phone number?
Yes, 651-373-7026. We'll connect you right with our office.
I'm going to challenge you right now. Put that to song.
Yeah.
I mean it. People will not be able to forget it then.
Oh, maybe Eleanor can help me with that?
Oh, no, this is on you, Calissa. You could do this.
651-373-7026.
I love it. One more time.
651-373-7026.
Oh, that is perfect. Thank you, Calissa. Thank you, Eleanor, for joining us today here on Voices in the Valley. Next week, we continue our Stories of Hope series as we hear from Evolve Adoption and Family Services and ESR, an organization supporting the employment choices of adults with disabilities. Special thanks to real estate consultant Wendy Gimple, Lake Elmo Bank, and Oak Meadows for their support. To find out how you can become involved with the show, email steph@theshireonline.com. Thanks for listening. Join us again next Saturday at 10 in the morning here on the Club 1220 KLBB.